I'm Bill Littlefield, and it's time for three stories you should know. In November 2017, Philadelphia-born rapper Meek Mill was sentenced to up to 4 years in prison for a probation violation. Patriots owner Robert Kraft and 76ers owner Michael Rubin were among those who felt the sentence was unjust, and they began agitating for Mill's release. After Mill was released on bail this past Tuesday, Rubin picked up the rapper in a helicopter, and Mill was at the arena in time to cheer the long-suffering 76ers to a playoff series victory.
Ringing tonight's bell, welcome home, Meek Mill!
That's where we're going to start this week. I'm joined by Lindsey Gibbs, sports reporter for Think Progress, and by SB Nation's Tyler Tynes. Welcome to both of you.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Tyler, you're first.
This was something that we needed, right? Regardless of how you feel about Meek Mill, about his music, about his incarceration, about the probation hearing, about what this symbols for other Black Americans who are going through similar things, what you can say is that for a night, Philadelphia was free. This is a 3-year process in the making from Sam Hinkie's Trust the Process version of the Sixers, a 6-year in the process since the last time they won a playoff series at home. And the city has been yearning for one of its favorites to actually finally come back. For a city as competitive as this, for a city as underdog-driven as this, Philadelphia has obviously wanted the Eagles to have their win, and they did that, and that was great. But not only do they get the city's version of Jay-Z out of jail, you get a win, and you get a massive moment for Philadelphia in their sports history and this rejuvenation of the reincarnation of how dominant Philadelphia sports are.
So I must say, I'm not typically a Philly sports fan, but this version of the 76ers is an absolute blast, and Joel Embiid is just amazing. And they're so lovable that it's even making me love J.J. Redick, and as a Carolina Tar Heel fan, that's really hard to do. And of course, Meek Mill was, that was kind of a seminal moment, and to see that happen, the only way it could have been better is if Robert Kraft wasn't involved in the story somehow.
Well, but, now, yeah. Wait a minute. I'm going to pick that up right there, because wasn't it kind of an indication that all manner of miraculous activity is possible, that even Robert Kraft was involved in this? Maybe even he. I mean, recently, of course, a supporter of Donald Trump, and here he is glorying in Meek Mill's freedom. It's quite extraordinary.
It's weird to kind of see something like this when you see so many white sport owners and so many white people who kind of want to impart either their money or their knowledge on a situation that doesn't directly involve them every single day. Mm-hmm. It's telling that someone like the Sixers owner Michael Rubin said that the first time he thought that there were injustices that differentiated between a Black and white America was when Meek Mill went to jail. It shouldn't take that long for white people to understand that Black people have a different America that they live into. It is refreshing to see that white people might actually care enough about Black people to throw their money and support behind a man who is not your casual victim. And it's interesting to see that, but we can't lose sight of actually how we got here. It took Robert Kraft. It took Michael Rubin. It took the preaching of white people for months and almost a year to have this happen. Imagine if that doesn't happen. Meek Mill's probably still in jail. And imagine what happens if other people who aren't Meek Mill, who don't have the fame and the money and the support of Meek Mill, they have to sit in jail for moments like these.
Lindsey, what's on your mind?
All right, I'm going to try and explain this quickly. It gets kind of complicated.
Good luck. Good luck, because I know your subject.
Yeah. So this week, the International Association of Athletic Federations, the IAAF, announced new eligibility regulations for female classifications. Now, what this does is it cuts the current testosterone threshold for female athletes in half, but only for women competing in international events from 400 meters to 1 mile. So it's just for women with naturally occurring testosterone levels higher than this threshold competing in these, I think it's about 5 or 6 events, a very small number. Now, this is not a coincidence. Caster Semenya, who is an Olympic champion middle distance runner, runs in 2 of the events that are targeted. And Semenya has been targeted by the IAAF since she first burst onto the scene and won the world championship in 2009. At that point, the IAAF broke its own confidentiality rules and announced that the South African runner was going to undergo gender testing. Now, what really makes this horrifying is the fact that the IAAF's own study from last year found that in only 5 categories did women with naturally occurring testosterone levels higher than average have an advantage. And that advantage was only 1.8% to 4.5%. Additionally, the 2 highest sports where this advantage was found were hammer throw and pole vault. But neither hammer throw or pole vault are included in these new regulations. Could that be because these are not sports that are traditionally dominated by women from the global South? It's hard to not see that as part of this story.
All we're seeing is a perpetuation of what we often see. We see whiteness imparting itself on blackness and diminishing its greatness, right? If they don't vilify or tarnish our image, they create laws to stop our greatness. And it's absolutely ridiculous that a situation like this has to amass because somebody is so dominant over their sport that they have to be vilified. It's like you're a smart kid in a class and you only get A's and your teacher tells you to cut it out because the class is underperforming. So is the problem actually with the system? Is the problem with the class? The problem with the athletics? Or are we seeing a truly generational talent be, again, vilified? And I think that's the way we kind of have to look at it is that the IAAF, just like the IOC, just like many athletic bodies across sport, have done things like this to change the laws and move the goalposts on black people and black athletes. So none of this is actually surprising to me, but it doesn't make it any less insidious.
To Tyler's point, think of how we treat Katie Ledecky's greatness. We marvel at it. We marvel at how much she dominates her competition. We don't scrutinize her body to try and bring her back down to earth. And that's how we should be treating Caster Semenya. We should be reveling at her.
All right, we're going to move along to an entirely different subject because I learned this week that Wembley is for sale. The UK's Football Association wants about $500 million for the stadium, which, of course, has been the home ground for England's national soccer team and various other wonderful things for many years. One of the potential buyers is Shahid Khan. He owns Fulham FC, a soccer team that presently plays in Craven Cottage, which is my favorite name of any venue for any sport. He also owns the Jacksonville Jaguars of the NFL, and there has been some speculation that he will move the Jaguars to the UK and they will play at Wembley Stadium. I have a problem with this for more reasons than I have time to even enumerate, but Craven Cottage may end up abandoned and derelict, which would be very bad. American football should not be exported any more than American cigarettes should be exported to places where they don't have warnings on the packages. And finally, come on, Wembley. What do they sell next? Wimbledon? The Tower of London? The Crown Jewels?
It's just really hard for me to really care what happens to the Jacksonville Jaguars, and I know that sounds horrible. I mean, I think the NFL should be spending its money and its priorities should be elsewhere. But overall, does it really bother me? Probably not really. Blake Bortles can go to London. That's okay.
If the fan base is actually there and the people do want it, then why not? Billionaires spend their money in stupid ways every day anyway. So it would be odd to restrict Shahid Khan from being able to do this. That being said, I don't really care what the NFL does with its time, with its effort, with its monies. It's not going to do anything good to begin with. There's really no energy really there to stop them from doing what they want. If they want to run Roger Goodell for president in 2020, I'm sure they're going to have a good chance to win. So it's really not up to me, I don't think, to care that much. But we are going to desecrate Wembley. Wembley's a beautiful place, and it should be only for soccer and some other things. But if the NFL says they want to go to Wembley and mess up Wembley, you're going to have an army to stop him from doing it.
All I have to say to that is Roger Goodell will never run for president because the pay cut he would have to take would be just restrictive, I'm afraid. My guests for this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know have been Think Progress's Lindsay Gibbs and SB Nation's Tyler Tynes. Thank you, both of you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Remember Philly. It's always Philly.